Welcome to the Troubleshooters Podcast with me, your host, Mike McGrath. Now, today's guests, Pippa Joseph and Hannah Chipkin, are the founders and owners of Merch Girls, a cool creative agency that provides branded merchandise to corporate Australia. They are a veritable dream team, positive and energetic. Now, they teamed up in 2015 and quickly decided to start their business based in Melbourne. They've built a highly successful operation, and in today's conversation, they tell us how they quit working on their own in favour of a partnership, and a very successful partnership it is as well. So Pippa and Hannah, welcome to the Troubleshooters Podcast.
Thank you. It's lovely to be here.
I really have been looking forward to this conversation because when I met you, I was really struck with how together you were and how you seem to have a really interesting story. So you're in the B2B space, and who would be your customers, you know, typical customers? Are they retailers or are they...
Retailers and large corporates, starting from, you know, Dan Murphy's to Telstra, to Mecca, to Google, to a lot of charities such as Mother's Day Classic, Kathy Freeman, Starlight Children's Foundation.
Why are they using you, Pippa?
Because we're twice as nice. So yes. We really, you know, found that, you know, we really started looking at merch. You know, Hannah can explain the story how we fell into the merch business later, but we started noticing that merch was really landfill. It had no personality and it was bringing companies' identity down instead where merch should be used to, you know, complement or elevate a company's branding and purpose and voice. And, you know, merch is there to, you know, either create more awareness for brand, to encourage staff, to, or for retail. And it just wasn't doing it. So, and we both come from creative backgrounds. So, we could really see how, you know, the power of merch and, you know, even back to the little money box, the tin money box you got at the Commonwealth Bank and, you know, how meaningful that merch was. So
yeah,
we just really wanted to create merch that clients were really happy with. It was really creating return on investment because it was designed well, it was made well, it was something interesting. We just had fun with it.
So it's the antipathy of logo slapping, isn't it? When I came to visit you, I was amazed at the creativity of some of your products. Well, what are some of the products that have really done well, that have really set you apart, that were... And then who comes up with those ideas?
We do as a team. We come up with all the ideas as a team. Mainly Hannah and I guess, in the beginning, you know, would be travelling, you know, and we would find products and we're like, this is absolutely fantastic, you know, it's more of a retail product, but let's turn that into a promotional merch product. But we're always trying to better, you know, what we have on offer, but it's more about how we really get creative with those merch items.
So you were in business before this and you started this in 15, so you've been going about, what, 7 years, is that right?
Yes.
Okay, so prior to that, you were in business separately?
Separately, yeah.
Okay.
I think we've both been in business since we're probably 21, 22.
When did you fall into that first business then at 21? What was it that sparked you?
It was, I fell into the business at 21. It was actually making clothing. So I started making men's T-shirts out of, you know, everything and just started trying to sell them and just walked into stores and some people would accept them and then some people would actually buy them and that sort of turned into a little business. Then it turned into dresses and then I was looking for manufacturing in, you know, for someone to make these garments and I fell in love with this lovely lady called Juju in Indonesia and I'm like, let's set up a factory. She's like, what are you talking about? Always happened sort of back to front.
Isn't that interesting? So you got going and then... Tell me about the day you bumped into Hannah.
Hannah, well, that was always with the manufacturing business in Indonesia that's still going, that Merch Girls still supports.
Okay.
And that's how I bumped into Hannah. So it's a really cute story, which I'll let Hannah explain, but we've really been on that journey. It's actually, yeah, two massive journeys in my life has got me where I am in business. That's one with Miss Juju and one with Hannah Chipkin, but it's really about that respect and that relationship of being able to rely on one another and not judge one another, and always know that you will be there and you'll have their back, you know, if it's with an idea, if it's with a passion. Or
tell me, did you click straight away? You know, did you kind of just hit it off, Hannah?
So I'd been in business for 5 years by myself, and I was looking for a manufacturer for my garments, and you can't find those. There's just nowhere to find manufacturing. It's a big trade secret. People don't want to tell you where they get things made. And I found a little ad in a button shop when I was in a button shop in Fitzroy and in Melbourne, and it had a phone number on it, and it said that this person could make anything, no matter too big or too small, no job too big or too small. So I called the number on the little ad flyer, and I spoke to Pippa. We had a long conversation, and I told her that I wanted to make some amazing products, but I didn't know how to do it, but I had the vision, and she kind of made me feel very confident that she could make it happen. So we met not long after in Melbourne and had a coffee. And yes, I would say that we definitely hit it off on the spot, because I went away from that meeting feeling really inspired. Like, I've just found someone who is on my wavelength with the excitement that producing and coming up with products. She had that same feeling about her. So we worked really closely, and she made a lot of my products come true and delivered them. But we had a lot of we went beyond that kind of supplier relationship and it became very integral in collaboration and ideas, and, oh, maybe you should change that to that color and da-da-da. So she became really involved, and we kind of formed a partnership without realizing it, but we weren't in the same business.
Just help me understand that, because I know there's a lot of business owners that listen to this who are working by themselves and feel quite restrained, I think, by that. Bearing in mind that I think of the 900,000 active companies in Australia, about 600,000 of them are one-man bands, actually. So it's a huge market, and they feel quite constrained. Many of them feel like they've got a poorly paid poorly paid, highly stressful job. So talk a bit about how you came to that conclusion, and then how's it been since then, when you've, you know, teamed up with clearly Pippa, who's the right partner for you?
Wow, to find a business partner is probably the hardest thing of business, and a lot of people have expressed their, I'm going to call it envy, but it's not in the wrong word, of our partnership, my husband included, because he's not envious, but he is really, really, he understands the landscape, and he says, you know, often, do you know how lucky the two of you are that you have each other, that you found each other? So I think we did a lot of hard work in the formative years before we joined our businesses, and we learned a lot on our own without each other. When we came together, it was honestly a stars aligning kind of moment. It's not often that you can say that about a relationship that you come across. So I don't know how it was meant to be, I suppose. But every day I'm very thankful for this partnership, because it's gotten us to where we are today.
It's a really good point. And, you know, if you can find a business partner with complementary skills, so would you say your skills are complementary? In other words, do you ever argue over that, or is it very clear how things delineate?
We've got sort of a secret little rule, I think. It's whoever's most passionate, because we actually don't agree. Like, we actually agree on a lot, but we use the special secret rule. It's like whoever's more passionate about the direction, or, you know, the solution. So we sort of pitch to each other. We're like, okay, I'll pitch to you and she'll pitch. And then it's like whoever's more passionate, then we just know, okay, that's the way that we're going. So we're quite different in the way that our brains work. We're very different, but we also have that respect, and it's more of a passion thing. So if someone's passionate about it and they can really sort of state their case, then we just know, okay, it's over to you. So we don't really get positions where we're like, no, I want to do this, you want to do this. It's we can let go.
There's still quite a bit of give and take required, isn't there? Which I suppose is the essence of any relationship, never mind just a business relationship. There needs to be give and take.
I think there is with, partners and with children and, it's a relationship thing. And I do remember someone told me maybe about 7 years, you need to go make all these relationships. I'm like, relationships? What do we do? Do we invite everyone out for dinner? Do we do all this? But it's not about that. It's about the trust, And the more I understand relationships, either if it's with our clients or if it's with our suppliers or if it's with, between Hannah and I or between our staff members, I feel like I really understand relationships.
You do
I say it a lot. And obviously the goal, having the right intention, if someone knows that you've got the right intention, if that's a client, a supplier, a staff member, a partner, a child, the culture just move in the right direction.
How did the business evolve in the last 7 years? Did it all go swimmingly from the beginning? Were there any issues? What sort of advice would you give looking back? Because hindsight's great. So,
We started, people talks about passion, and I think that's 100% where we started and 100% where we're at today. We're not bored. We're not doing something we're not loving. So a joint passion in a market that we were completely new at, all we knew is we wanted to have a real go. So the two of us started, just the two of us in my parents' bedroom, in a townhouse, and we worked out of there for many years, just the two of us, and did everything from little cute costing templates on Excel. I was doing all the design. People was, liaising with the factories. We'd never spoken to China before. We had to learn. You had to learn how to do that. So we really learned everything from the ground up. We were selling. We were doing the specs. We were doing the production. We were delivering it.
We didn't even know what margins were.
We didn't know.
We didn't know.
We knew
what a margin, but we're like, what should it be?
It was.
Yes. No. I understand.
Totally green. We definitely made our share of mistakes, and that's how we definitely learned. The biggest step was taking on, I remember our first part-time staff member. That was huge for us, come and work for us 2 days a week out of this bedroom. And it was a little computer, and it was total grassroots.
Just squeeze another staff member in this bedroom. But I think we were, I think we've been quite sensible. We've always worked within our, we've grown slowly, but, steadily, but we've
always used our capital to go back into the business. So we've kind of spent within our means and grown in a way that allows us to comfortably take slightly bigger steps now.
Yeah.
So look, you've now got staff. I mean, I came to the offices, beautiful offices. You've got quite a few staff. So when did you first get to the point where you guys going, okay, this is going to work? Like, what was the day or the moment where you realised this was a proper business?
I think I've always realised it. I don't know. It's sort of like little steps. Oh, my goodness, Hannah. Oh, my goodness. Like, we're doing it. We're doing it. I remember Hannah's father said, so what's your goal? And I'm like, I think just to know that we can do this, So we kept going. He's like, what? There's been a few pivotal moments. I think, we've had little goals, but someone that's really helped us is a gentleman called Tom Williams, who's been our coach, and he's really sort of guided us through, startup and to scale up, and sort of given us the direction and the guidance for that.
So just for the listeners that aren't as nuanced as you guys, merch is short for merchandise, right? So you produce high quality merchandise for big brands, effectively.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, the public or the people really like associating their themselves to brands now. So that's becoming more and more obvious and a bigger trait in overseas in America and England. It's huge. You know, every cafe will have their branded merch, you know, and people are really showing their respect to.
So do you think, I mean, merchandise as in a way has always been around. I mean, it's much more sophisticated now, but, you know, even when I was growing up, there was merchandise. But it seems like through technology, through the way things can be produced and printed in smaller quantity, it might be now available to much smaller companies, whereas it used to be the preserve of Adidas or Nike or, you know, the real big brands. I mean, do you see a sort of an expansion of merchandise being open to smaller businesses now?
Absolutely. Definitely for smaller businesses, but also the larger businesses want to do it differently and do it better now. And I think there's two things. Like in the 80s, 90s, it was always conferences. You'd get a branded pen, you'd get some crappy merch, and, you know, you'd take it home to your children. And now also with all the social media, you know, and all the influencers, it's really important for big brands to be seen in this world, in this digital world. So I think that's another thing, and also to have brands in the household. So people want to get their names in the household as well. So I think the power of merch for corporates, well, it is. It's a huge.
Yeah, okay. So really there's a drive to innovation and creativity and better products that have got more utility and are going to be more desired, I suppose.
Absolutely. And there's also like a massive drive for sustainable merch. So a lot of our clients come to us wanting sustainable merchandise, which is a really broad term. And we've kind of, what we've done in that space, and we've still got a lot of room, a lot of way to go, but like our number one is make merch that's highly reusable so it doesn't become landfill. Someone receives it in a conference, they will love it, they will use it, it will become part of their life. So the lifespan of a product, you know, to have longevity, designed well. We also use recycled fabrications where we can, and we really want to get better at that. But we've got some really great ones that we're using now, made of like recycled plastics and nylons.
Yeah, look, there's a real drive and demand for that. I suppose one of the challenges I'm seeing, I mean, you know, I'm on the boards of quite a few companies and four or five of them are manufacturers, and we're continually being asked around this sustainability area. But it comes with a price. And I think at the moment we're all wrestling with what will the market pay for that improved sustainable product. And I was talking to someone today, and the big retailers have a particular appetite for a certain product. I won't mention it, but and there's a 20% delta difference between this completely sustainable product and the not sustainable product. And time again, retailers are asking for it, and then when they get the price, they don't choose it. And I think this is going on all over the place at the moment. And you're no doubt at the forefront of that.
It's 100% true. But also I think there's another issue with sustainability is the education. So there's not one body that this means it's a sustainable product because it does A, B and C. So the educational part of it, especially in Australia, we're very low and corporates are very low on it. It's really difficult to tick all the boxes. So, and people like to say, oh, yeah, we're sustainable, but it's very difficult to be 100% sustainable. So it's really identifying how you can be sustainable with that product. What boxes does that particular product do? Usually it won't tick all the boxes, but what are the boxes as well? And I spent a lot of time, talking to, you know, government bodies, and they can't really give you sort of Australian standards of what is sustainable as well. So that's quite good as well. So, you know, being a business owner saying, yep, sustainable, you know, being sustainable and that, you know, the most sustainable that we can possibly be, it's a really difficult difficult thing for a business to tick all those boxes.
Yeah, I think so. And look, I suppose, you know, we've all got to do what we can from where we are with what we've got. And some sustainability is better than none. And that's where, as you were saying, you might not be able to tick all the boxes, but if you can tick some of them or most of them, then that's probably worth doing. And I mean, certainly we've got increasing demand from the younger consumers that are really being demanding in this area. And I think we are going to see some changes, I think, in the next decade.
It's really fantastic. And we're really excited for this journey.
Isn't that great? Look, before we let you go, we always finish off with a few questions, a few personal questions. So where's your favourite place in the world? Start with you, Pippa.
Oh, it's me. At the moment, it's Binlong Bay in Tasmania.
Okay, Hannah, favourite place? We're giving you a few seconds to think about it.
I'm going out of this country. I'm going to go Rome.
Okay, Rome. Lovely. Yeah. Have you been to Rome much?
Oh, I've only been twice, but it is just, it's lively and it's old, new, and it's, I love chaos and I love the food and I love the fact that, you know, the people are out late having dinner and it's just gorgeous.
What about your people who've influenced you, Pippa, or that you know, people that you'd give a shout out to and say, yeah, that was great?
I really admire Zoe Foster Blake in business.
Okay.
From GoTo. She's just the perfect entrepreneur, in my opinion. Graceful and eloquent and funny and self-deprecating and bloody smart, and she's the whole package. And
isn't that great?
Her brand's incredible, and I think I really look up to her as a leader. And she's, you know, she's a good person. She's, you know, she's an ambassador for lots of, you know, she does good stuff as well. So I think she's fabulous. You go.
I think someone from an early age was Kathy Freeman. I thought she was absolutely amazing, and just watching her hype up for the run was just really stood in my mind. I think she's been amazing, you know, with her foundation, you know, close the gap with education. But the biggest one is anyone that's busy doing things. Oh, my goodness, I've got an idea. You know, that just doesn't matter who it is, if it's a two-year-old or an 80-year-old, just people that are doing things really excites me, and I just want to be around it.
Well, that's great. Look, thank you so much for joining, coming on the podcast today and having a chat with me. You guys are really successful. You're the dead set dream team as far as I'm concerned. And we wish you well at Merch Girls. And we wish you continued enjoyment and passion in your business. You obviously enjoy what you do. And let's stay in touch. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Michael.
What great people, honest and hardworking and highly creative. Partnerships are not always easy, but Pippa and Hannah certainly seem to have mastered it. If you want to know more about Merch Girls, the details will be in the show notes. Now, quick shout out to our sponsors, Oasis Partners, corporate advisors who specialize in helping business owners unlock the value in their companies. They've done over 500 deals. Yep, 500 deals. So, if you're thinking of selling, or just want to discuss succession, call the team at Oasis. And finally, if you like this content, subscribe and tell your friends. And if you're really feeling generous, give us a review. Only good ones, please. 5 stars would be very nice. So until next time, thanks for listening and stay safe.